It's the Don't Make It Weird podcast with your hosts, Daniel and Dina Soris.
Hello there. I'm Daniel, and welcome to the Don't Make It Weird podcast. We are your comedy storytelling podcast for the writing community, by the writing community, and also acceptable to, like, pangolins or duck-billed platypi. Like, we like those things, and I remember when Belgium used to like us, too. Like, I hope Belgium still likes us. It's been a minute, but Belgium, I just want you to know if you're out there as a country, we love you, and we hope that you're still listening to our podcast, because we're very poor, and we need your support. But you know who needs our support all the more, guys? I am joined, as always, by the nefarious nymph who only nails nerds, Dina Soris!
Hey.
Hi, Dina.
Hey.
So, how's that post-hurricane life? Life good out there? Like,
living large, yo. It didn't take my fucking roof, and I'm pissed about it.
But, oh, you wanted a new roof? Yeah.
Yeah, I needed a new roof real bad. I didn't want to pay for it out of pocket. Paying for it out of pocket, check out ashtinadesigns.etsy.com to help support me buying a new roof and my dog needs surgery. Thank you.
Guys, only you can prevent Dina from becoming a stripper. Remember that.
We'll sell feet pics for $100 each.
No, Dina, no. No. Oh, no. Shit.
No, I absolutely will. $100. I'm in.
Dina, God, we are not supporting your prostitution services here on the Don't Make It Weird podcast.
That's hardly prostitution. Put that shit on a t-shirt.
Selling feet pics, not quite prostitution. Oh, fuck me. Damn it. Ugh. Ugh. But, you know, I mean, but seriously though, Dina, jokes aside, I know everyone's been a little bit worried about people out in Florida. You've got a lot of friends, family. We've got our friends Stevie and Anthony. And I know that we've got some, like, other authors that have been on here. Kind of just give us a quick just update on what's going on with your life and stuff like that.
I mean, I'm fine. We made it out fine. We had, like, minimal damage. Like I said, still don't have a new roof, fuckers. but no, it's really bad. I lost some people, and my brother, we lost contact with him for a while, and we were really worried there. But he's fine now. He's very upset that his work was not demolished. I don't blame him. Stevie and Anthony are fine. Anthony's great. Stevie's helping out his family. They were in a bad spot, too. But yeah, no, like, Florida's recovering. It's hard. This hit us pretty hard. But we're making the best of it. Like, we're still jet skiing out in the streets. So go, Florida.
Yeah, no. That's still totally fine. But, you know, we have our reporter on the scene. That's going to help us out with what's going on in Florida. But let me introduce him first, guys. He doesn't need to try to explain each episode. He just holds on tight. And if Daniel's canceled again, he may move on silently to We Have Issues Critically Stupid, like a drunken can of ball. He wants to. He needs to come in frame a little bit closer. Dina takes mouth drugs to get a bit higher. You'll never know what cringy hits you when Daniel picks for you. Ooh, I want Sean, and I know I need him. What's up, producer Sean?
Suddenly feel like I drink a cherry cola.
You know, right, I'm babe. Always confused, Daniel. Do you think that you're like singing to the beat of the song or like?
No.
I just want to make sure. Yeah, I just want to make sure that we're not on the same page.
He's deliberately trying not to sing to the beat of the song, but he can't help it. So it sneaks in a little bit, but he's like very resisting true.
Yeah, no, I try to resist. And but you know what? I love that song. And you know, Savage, you don't even know who Savage Garden is. You don't know what song we're talking about at all, do you, Dina?
No.
No.
Every day I get a little sadder. I get a little older.
Me but, too.
Hard same.
Yes. But we've got a reporter on the streets here. Producer Sean, can you confirm or deny that there are videos of manatees walking down the streets of Florida right now?
Walking?
I'm unable to confirm or deny.
Sean, I need you to just pull up the video. There's a video of a manatee kind of flopping down the street.
Sure. Boop.
There it is.
There it is. Unbelievable. Look at that manatee. Dina,
fake
how do
news
you survive?
Must be CNN.
Oh my God.
Dina, we're not getting political here. Get out of here. But Dina, what would you do if you literally came across a manatee walking down the street?
I mean, Like, I've had an eel go down the street. I know that it's not as big, but, like, I don't... Okay. Probably so flooded somewhere.
That's fair. But, okay, so... Is an eel the weirdest animal you've seen in Florida out of its natural habitat?
No. Well, I guess it was in the worst environment, but no. I saw a lemur once in downtown Brooksville. Just out of nowhere, there was just a lemur. My god sister and I tried to chase it. We couldn't catch it, though, so.
On the count of Dina has stuffed and mounted this animal.
Oh, we saw, there was a kangaroo once, too. Or not a kangaroo. What are the little things? Not a chupacabra. The
definitely mini- not. Okay, if it was a chupacabra, we'd be having a different conversation. Mini, right?
Mini kangaroos. What are those?
Joey's?
No, not the babies. The other kangaroos.
The fuck are you talking about? The other kangaroos. There's only one. I mean, there are lots of marsupials. But there is only kangaroos.
It's a marsupial that jumps just like a kangaroo, but it's smaller.
Wallaby?
Yeah, wallaby. Had a wallaby once.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's fair.
I mean, it's Florida. Like, it just happens, and we don't really question it.
That's fair.
No, I totally get that. Sean, even post-Florida, are we doing any drinking games again, buddy?
Of course. As usual, we are playing Buffalo or... drinking with our offhand. We're all right-handed here, so we're all drinking with our left hands. If you catch any of us drinking with our right hands, let us know at DMIW Podcast on Twitter. Also, we have several buzzwords that will trigger this sound effect. If you hear that sound, that means it's time to drink. It's time to drink.
Time to drink, baby. But, drink. All right, guys. So we've got a fun episode for you today. So, if you guys recall, last week, me and Dina and Sean, we were a little upset with you, audience. A little bitter. We tried to be a democracy here. We tried to be a show of the people, for the people. But you guys made a mistake. An inexcusable, horrible mistake. So we've taken away your privileges on what Storytime with Dina is going to be this week. Because, by God, we need to know about Ken's dick. Dina? Thoughts?
You're going to ask me to tell you what story time is? Because you already said it. Democracy's dead, bitches. Communism is alive and thriving.
Thriving.
You will hear the story we tell you you're going to hear. Or you will get nothing at all.
And so Dina, I know it's a little bit early. But we're going to be, not only are we going to be discussing Ken's dick, we are going to be discussing, is it okay to judge a book by its cover? We're going to be talking about book covers, the good things to do, the bad things to do, the things that we hate, and things that are, I don't know, Ken's dick related. It's
fuck your AI art. Okay.
And so, yeah, so we're going to be going over those two topics today, and we've got a lot of great stuff coming up on this episode. So, guys, it's time for a segment on our show that we in no way stole from the fine folks that We Have Issues. Anthony and Stevie, we love you, and their comic Death List coming out soon. It's the Accountability Buddy segment. So what do we do here, Sean?
We kind of update each other on the progress of any of our individual or group ongoing projects and hold each other accountable for working on them.
Perfect. Dina, what you got, buddy?
I haven't done jack shit because I'm still waiting on my two critique partners for book two of the Discerners trilogy, and I still don't know how to end my short story, so nothing.
I survived
a hurricane. Fuck you guys. I don't have to do anything.
No, that's fair. That's fair. But you know what you do have, even though we will not reveal it, audience? You're going to have to just take our word for it. Dina, you got some proofs back on your book cover, buddy.
Yeah, so we have a special edition cover of Nothing Special, and I got back the cover and the jacket for the special edition, and it is so good. It's perfect.
Oh my god.
People are saying it's very special.
Very special. Very, very special. No, I get to be a hipster. I get to say I got to see it before the rest of you peasants. But yeah, dude, it's freaking amazing. I love the color choices. I mean, God, I know I'm biased here. I know we all love Dina, but I'm telling you, this book cover's
doesn't it look like
awesome.
Some shit that you would see in a bookstore and it would stand out, like compared to everything else that we have these days, it would 100% stand out on a bookshelf.
Oh God, yes. Yes, absolutely. Like freaking cool as hell. So, you know, props to your cover designer and Lost Boys Press for that. Like, it's going to be pretty freaking awesome.
Shout out, Bruce Burks.
Bruce Burks. And as far as for me, with my accountability buddying, been working with our boy, Dusty Bones Taylor, Dustin Taylor. And I've gotten through the two rounds of dev edits. We feel really good about the place the book's in. So now we get to get into the line edits portion of the journey where he can find all my redundant sentences and crutch words and make this thing more efficient. I mean, the cool thing for me, I tend to be incredibly wordy. And so, like, we realized in the first, like, rounds that a major part of my story was cut out. That explains, like, the whole motivation, like, why my character is doing what he's doing. Like, an entire chapter was just gone that had been edited by a freelance editor before. And so Dustin comes back and he's like, dude, what the hell? Like, why is your guy going on this journey right now? And I'm like, BRB.
I don't know.
I put it back in. And then I'm going through the dev edits with him. And I'm also just going through my own edits just to get this thing like tighter. Cause I wrote this a long time ago. And so, I needed to update the dialogue. I hope I've improved as a writer. So I got rid of a lot of stuff. And Dina, are you going to be proud of me? Cause I cut a lot of words.
How many words did you cut?
15,000.
Oh, yes. And you're going to cut even more in line edits. And I can't wait because the smaller the book, the cheaper the print.
That was just the adverbs, by the way.
That was just the adverbs.
That was just the L-Y words specifically.
Yeah. But so that was the exciting part for me because it was I added 4,000 words by putting that chapter back in, and then I managed to subtract 10,000 from the total, like what the previous total was. So in total, I subtracted 15,000 words.
Cool.
So happy about that. Feeling good. Thunderstruck's moving forward, man. And I'm pumped about it. Sean, what you been up to, bud?
Well, it's officially spooky season, and we officially have our live Halloween costume party on the books scheduled for October 30th. We hope to see you there. Costumes required. I have some special guests lined up for that one, too. So very excited about that.
I can't wait for my costume. I've wanted to wear this costume for years, and I'm finally going to get it. So.
I'm excited. I'm very excited about this. This is going to be a lot of fun. I love getting to do live shows, especially when I have all of our friends go in. It just makes me feel like I'm dumb because our comment section is always so much funnier than anything I have to say. And so it's usually just me going, God, they're all so much more clever than I am.
Same.
It's true.
A little bit insecure about it, but it's okay.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Just but you want to know what I'm never insecure about, Dina? The segment that I love more than anything else is when our people talk to us. Sean, do we have voicemails?
It's time to check our voicemail.
Woo!
I love it. All right, here we go, you guys.
Hey, guys. It's Katie.
Hi, Katie.
So I'm done anxiety-ing. I'm going to tell you a joke, and it's my favorite joke. So
perfect.
Pretend to laugh, at least. Okay, so there's a redhead, a brunette, and a blonde, and they are all running from the cops. And they run down an alleyway, and all there are three potato sacks. So each one of them gets in a potato sack.
That's my favorite joke.
The cops come around the corner, and all they see are these potato sacks. So they kick the first one. Brunette is in. And she goes, woof, woof. And they go, oh, it's just a bunch of puppies. And then they
kick
the one with the redhead in it, and she goes, meow. And they say, oh, okay, it's just a bunch of kittens. Then they kick the one with the blonde in it, and all she says is potato.
That's
yes,
my favorite
Katie.
Joke.
Love you guys. Bye.
That's a superior form of potato right there.
That is my favorite blonde joke, though.
I love how normal it is to just have a sack full of animals in the alleyway.
Yeah, they're just like, oh, yeah, no big deal. Those puppies can
Must
stay
be
in that
from
potato
Florida.
Sack.
Jesus. Oh, we got another one, you guys.
Another?
Another one.
Another one.
Brother Pele is in the back.
Oh! Oh! I know what this is.
Sweet Xena in the front.
Cruising
down the freeway. In the hot
sun.
Suddenly, red blue lights flash all of us from behind. Loud voice booming. Please step out onto the line. Pele preaches us words of comfort. Xena, she just hides her eyes. Policeman taps his shade. That is Chevy 69.
Nice.
How bizarre.
How bizarre!
Oh, no.
Ooh, baby.
Okay. Didn't you, like, prompt the crowd to send in
I did!
Some type of, like, serious or dramatic reading of How Bizarre at some point?
Yes, because you love that song. That's right.
That's... No, but
yeah,
yes, that's right.
So why have to give him merch? Something? I owe him a piece of merch. So caller, whoever you are, you beautiful, beautiful gentleman.
I think you know who it is.
Wait until the house isn't flooded anymore so that you...
It could be anyone.
I'm going to go send him some merch. So mysterious, kind, sexy stranger, just shoot us those shit. Get us in the DMs, baby. Tell me what you want. Just tell me what you want, what you really, really want.
Bro, wait to send it, though, because, like, mail is getting lost.
No, that's fair. Yeah, no, I'm with you. Man, I'm excited. We're busting out a brand new game segment, a traditional game amongst folks.
I'm fucking ready.
Would you like to remind the crowd how they can send us a voicemail message?
I guess I could, but, I mean, I feel like we've peaked, right? Like, it doesn't get better than that song, right?
You're not, like, funny.
Damn, Dina? God, I liked you before you had got hit by a hurricane. God.
Yeah, me too.
Oh. Damn it, Dina.
Just like OMC, our voicemail has peaked.
All right, guys, we love it when you call into the show. We love getting to hear your voices, your jokes, your songs, your whatever you want to do. So if you ever want to leave us a voicemail, you can give us a call at 347-69-WEIRD. That's 347-699-3473.
Talk dirty to me, Dad.
All right. So, Sean, tell us about the new game we're playing this week.
Jason, I don't understand. Sorry.
Oh no.
Unhinged Dina is the best Dina. Today we're gonna rip off Scattergories.
Weirdergories.
Weirdergories. So basically I've set up some Scattergories answer cards for Daniel and Dina. I'm going to populate these with a letter and some categories, and they'll have 60 seconds to write in answers that match the letter and the categories given. We will compare answers afterwards, and if it goes well in the first round, we might do a second round. Who knows?
Let's
do
it.
Unless Daniel fucks it up.
How? I can't possibly fuck up categories, Dina. It'll be fine. It'll be fine.
Do you guys have your sheets up and ready to go?
Yep.
Yes.
On the round one sheet of the sheet?
Yes.
All right, let me set up a timer.
Will you give us some music while we do this, Sean?
I can give you the fancy pants music.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you.
Okay. Your timer starts now.
Oh, shit. Okay. Oh, God.
For the crowd at home, the letter is G. The letter is G this round. You don't have to go in order. You can answer these in any order you'd like. 5 seconds left.
What?
Time's up.
Oh no, I did so
Pencils
bad.
Pencils down.
I did Pencils so bad. Down. Oh no. That can't possibly
that
have been 2 minutes.
That was 60 seconds.
No, we said we're
that
doing 2 minutes.
Seconds.
You said we're doing
I
2 minutes.
I said 60 seconds. Dina, can you back me up here?
He did. So I said 2 minutes and then Sean was like, 60 seconds it is. And I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, no.
Hey, listen, man, Dina managed to get 10 answers in 60 seconds.
Dude, I got 3 and 2 of my answers are the same thing.
Oh, my God. Okay. Let's add another minute.
Thank you.
I'm resetting the timer right now. One more minute. Continue with your answers starting now. What's great is I'm watching you guys do this. And it took Daniel a solid 35 seconds to enter his first answer. By that time, Dina was more than halfway done.
Dude. Oh,
15 seconds. All right. Time's up.
Dude, I did so bad. Oh my God.
Okay.
I'm not good at
the letter is
guys.
G. The letter is G. The first category is sandwich. Dina, what did you have?
Euro.
Hero.
Hero.
I'll allow it. Daniel?
That'd be a grilled Gouda sandwich.
Hey, grilled cheese, grilled Gouda.
That's good shit.
Nice. Yeah. So that's 1-1. I like it. The second category, a method of transportation. Dina?
A GMC truck.
Excellent. And Daniel, what did you choose?
Grandma.
So, can you describe this method of transportation? Like, what are the logistics of this?
Well, you make sure she's got a good back brace on. You just hop on her back and grandma gets you walking around.
No. Right,
so we'll go 1 point to Dina, 0 points to Daniel.
My daughter gets transported from place to place by grandma. That counts. She is picked up. She is carried. That is a method of transportation.
Could have said go-kart, golf cart.
Method of transportation being carried around by grandma.
Grand caravan.
Yeah, I definitely am not giving you a point for that. You're welcome to campaign for a point after the fact with the crowd, but yeah, that's not an acceptable answer as far as I'm concerned.
Next one,
a card game starting with the letter G. Dina.
Go fish, bitch.
Beautiful. That's a point. And Daniel, what did you answer?
That'd be nothing. That'd be nothing, Sean. I did not have it.
Yeah, exactly.
I
didn't have it. 0 points.
Yeah.
Number 4, the category was a reason to call 911. Dina?
Girls with milkshakes bringing all the boys to the yard.
No, they're doing nothing illegal. They are bringing them to the yard. So, that is no,
may
no.
I, that's, may I? May I?
Yeah. Explain how that's an emergency situation. Yeah. To us, Dina.
I call 911 all day long for my job, and you would be surprised how many stupid reasons that people call 911. Somebody will call 911 because somebody walked past their street an hour ago. Somebody will call 911 because an Amber Alert came up on their phone and it said an emergency, so they had to call. So I'm campaigning that this is a legitimate answer.
So by that logic, you could put anything as an answer.
Yes.
Yeah.
But to be fair, hold on a second. To be fair, it didn't say a good or legitimate reason to call 911.
Okay, then it didn't say it was a good or legitimate mode of transportation, Sean.
Grandma is not a mode of transportation. And Daniel, by the way, what did you put for your answer for this category?
Grandma.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah, you did.
If grandma gets hurt, so
you
could have
sounded like grandma has a stroke. Yeah, like that would have been a good reason to call.
I didn't know I had to be that level of specificity.
She's geriatric.
So you call 911, you're like, I'm calling because grandma.
Yes, they would get that. They would be more likely if I just called and simply said grandma than if you went and said you bring all the milkshake. My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard.
You can call 911 and order pizza and they code it as domestic violence or abuse and they will come.
I'm just saying,
and you're ordering pizza.
If milkshake brings all the boys to the yard is an answer, what, buddy? Then grandma transportation is
I'm
an answer.
I'm just happy that you came up with a word that starts with the letter G.
You I'll also can't do double.
Okay. What?
Oh, you can't do double. That's right.
You can't use the same answer twice.
Fuck.
All of his answers are grandma, you guys. I'm just kidding.
I did.
That's true. I forgot you can't use the same answer twice.
All right, right. Then I rescind my complaint.
Yeah.
Category number 5, weapons. Dina, what was your answer?
Gun.
Wow, what an easy and concise answer for the letter G. Daniel, what was your answer?
My answer is fine. A grenade.
Grenade. That's correct.
Good Holy one, buddy. Shit. Good one.
Yes. It's just weird to me that you thought of grenade before gun.
No, like, because
gun
I knew,
is like the
because here's the thing.
I knew she was going to answer it.
Correct.
Yeah, that's fair.
Good call. Good call.
Thank you, buddy.
Category number 6, Dina, gifts or presents?
A gauntlet.
Like, have you gotten a gauntlet as a gift?
No, but I gave one once.
So. God, I could have said- the occasion.
It was my dad for Christmas.
You just got him a single gauntlet, not even like a matching pair of gauntlets?
Yeah.
Was it the
can
Thanos
I be honest
dad?
For a
Thanos?
Second? Can I be honest for a second? I meant goblet, but that's fine.
Dina's mind map. Dina's mind map. All right. Yeah. Well, I mean, this is another one of those vague ones. Like, yeah, you could give almost anything as a gift or a present.
That was my problem, is that anything could have been a gift or a present, and it literally locked up my brain.
I would accept goblet or gauntlet, so I'll go ahead and give Dina a point on that one. Yeah. Daniel, what did you answer? Oops, wrong button. Sorry. I'm going to go ahead and give Dina a point on that one. Daniel,
listen,
what did you answer, buddy?
I didn't fucking answer, Sean.
Oh, God.
Excellent. That's another 0 point round for Daniel.
Yep, yep.
Number 7, vacation spots. Dina?
Guatemala.
I would go to Guatemala.
Guatemala.
And Daniel, where would you go?
Grenada.
Hey, Grenada, Caribbean.
I feel like that's basically grenade, and he shouldn't get it.
It's one letter away. It's almost grandma as well. Like, you only changed a couple letters.
Daniel's mind map.
All right. Things that you find at a bar. Dina, what did you answer?
Gravy on poutine with girls.
I mean, girls would have worked too.
Yeah.
I had girls at first, but I was like, now let's get fucking creative here and go gravy on poutine, bitches. I really want poutine.
Dude, I hella want poutine. Let's go get poutine.
Let's go.
We all hey, want Daniel, what did you answer for this one, buddy?
I didn't fucking answer, Sean.
Oh, my God.
My mind blocked. Yeah. I need a second round for redemption.
All right. Got double time for that too. Okay, Dina, an offensive word, please, for category 9.
G, but I just thought of one. I just put down.
She just wrote the letter G. 0 points for Dina on that category. Daniel,
listen,
an offensive word that starts with G.
Let me just preface by saying I don't support using the word this way, and that I, you know. I'm not saying this willingly.
He's going to slur us right now.
I'm not going to slur us, but I still don't like saying it. It's just, it's an offensive word. So, gay boy. Like, all one word.
I've never actually heard it, but I didn't.
Yeah, like if you just.
It was like a 90s thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's kind of like
saying the F word version of it without going.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely bleeping that out, but I'm giving you a point because it's definitely offensive.
Thank you, buddy.
And the last category of this round, farm animals. Dina, hit me with it.
Goats, meh.
Goats is a correct answer. I need to rearrange my sound buttons.
Yeah.
That's 1 point for Dina and Daniel.
I think you know the answer, Sean.
He left it blank.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. My mind went blank this round, Dina. I was so I thought I had 2 minutes. And then it was 1 minute, and then I had only another minute, and I panicked. My brain locked down. I panicked. I need a shot at redemption. 2 minutes. Come on, buddy. Let's do it.
All right. So in round one, Dina got 9 out of 10 correct, and Daniel got 4 out of 10 correct.
I maintain method of transportation was right. If milkshake brings the boys to the yard is a point, then so is grandma.
Okay. Both of you are on sheet two, round two, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Your time starts now.
Mr. F.
Oh,
it's the letter D, as in Daniel and Dina this time. 10 categories, 2 minutes on the clock. Daniel's already doing a lot better this time. One minute left. The letter D.
God, this is gonna drive me nuts. How can I not?
I don't remember words.
Yes.
What are words? 20 seconds. Daniel, let's not try to have any blanks this round, buddy. 5 seconds.
I'm gonna win one of these on a technicality, and I
time's
love
up.
It.
Time's up.
All right, I have a couple blanks.
So in round two, we had 10 categories. The letter was D. We'll start with Daniel this time, since we started with Dina last time. Daniel, titles a person can have, starting with the letter D.
Duchess.
Damn it.
Very nice. Very nice. Dina, did you have the same? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you said Duchess / Duke.
Here's the thing. No, she's got to pick one or the other. You can't.
Yeah, I did that because I was like, oh, if it's gender, but they're the same thing.
Then it's a wash.
Yeah.
Either of you get a point. All right. Cartoon characters. Daniel.
Donald Duck, baby.
And that's another wash. Dina also hit us with the Donald Duck. It's 0-0 so far. Yeah. Daniel, bodies of water that start with the letter D.
D's nuts.
Excellent. Actually, yeah. He left it blank.
For yeah, I did. Yeah.
So that's 0 for Daniel. Dina, body of water that starts with the letter D.
Dinar.
I'm going to need a fact check there.
Like,
yeah.
Like the currency in Iraq? Is that what you're talking about?
You know?
The dinar?
Can you just like fact check it?
Yeah, yeah.
I just thought about the body of water. Damn it.
What is it?
The Danube.
I'm not finding anything.
God has failed me.
God is.
Did you ask God for an answer and that's what you got? You got your name with an R on the end?
Yeah.
Dina's
not. All right, so we're knotted up at 0 right now, you guys. Daniel, give me a crime that starts with the letter D.
Decapitation.
That holds up.
Yeah.
That's a crime. Dina?
That's illegal.
Drugging people.
Hey,
yeah.
Take it.
All
take
right. It. All right.
Daniel, a children's book that starts with the letter D, please.
I'm so embarrassed I didn't get an answer to this. I have like 100 children's books at home for my daughter. And
I bet your daughter would be able to answer that one.
Yes, she would. I couldn't stop thinking about Uni the Unicorn, and that didn't help.
Dina? Love that for you.
Yeah.
Dina the Dinosaur.
Oh, my God.
Are you naming
Dina,
your
did you,
own?
Did you write that book?
Children's
you wrote
no,
that book, didn't you?
No, I wish I did.
Okay, hold on.
I just bought it for my nephew. Like, there's also Dina the Deaf Dino too.
She's right.
Fucking hell.
Fact check complete.
Yeah.
That's a correct answer for Dina. Daniel, hit me with a four-letter word that starts with the letter D.
Dink.
Dink is a four-letter word that starts with the letter D. And Dina?
Duck.
No, you said Donald Duck. That counts. That's double using.
That's not double using. No, that's a proper title of a character.
No, that is in both. That is in both.
That's the proper title of a character.
If grandma does not count, then you cannot use duck twice. God,
get over the grandma thing. No. It's so ridiculous. I'm allowing duck.
No.
I'm allowing duck. It's a different answer.
It is not.
It absolutely is a different answer.
Daniel, give me a Halloween costume that starts with the letter D.
You ready for me?
Can't wait for this.
Giant hypocrite. Darkwing Duck.
So you wanted to prevent Dina from getting a point last time for using duck twice, and you used duck twice.
I didn't think this through, buddy.
Yeah. As is tradition. I'm going to give you a point for that one. Dina, a Halloween costume that starts with D.
A dairy maid.
Oh, hell yeah.
Hey. All right. That's hot.
All right. Daniel, give me an animal from a book or a movie.
Well, you're going to need to go on a mind map here with me because, it is going to be the dinosaur, which is an animal from The Hanged Man in the Heroes anthology, and an inn is named after it.
You never specified that was an actual animal in your Hanged Man, so that's not appropriate to proper and currently published lore.
It's a published book. Words are written out. I'm the author.
Yeah, but in that book, in the legends of... currently published work, there is no reference to it being an animal. Could be named after a person. Well,
guess what? Guess what, Sean? I just thought about it, and now it's an animal.
It's canon now. That's bullshit.
As masturbatory as this whole exercise has been for Daniel, I have to give him a point.
Yes.
As the author of the published work, he can decide if it's an animal or not. And
yes,
he decided. So, Dina?
Deer? Right?
Deer.
Like,
it's an animal. It's an animal featured. Right. Yeah. Okay. Okay. I think the implication was specific, but
I didn't understand the question. If I'm being honest, I was like, do I have to like come up with a name? Do I have to come up with like an animal? Cause like,
I
could just say duck too.
I'll allow it. Daniel, give me a bad habit that starts with the letter D.
Having your dick out.
Oh man.
Still struggling with that one, huh?
It's just a bad habit.
Bad habit. Depending on in most situations, that's a bad habit. I'll give him a point for that. Dina.
Dicking around.
Dicking around. Okay, I can see that. Like you're dicking around instead of doing your work. I get it.
That actually does work. Yeah. Damn it.
Yeah, that works.
I was trying to think of how to say dick exposure without like saying dick exposure. So I was like, you know what? Dicking around is like a bad habit too. So.
Well, now you've said it.
Dina's mind map.
Daniel, mind map. Give me a hobby that starts with the letter D for the final answer this round.
Staying on theme, drawing dinosaurs.
That's a hobby, huh?
Yeah.
Is that Steven the Wildest Cards hobby?
The Wildest Card.
I just said drawing, but I mean.
Yeah, but I could have just said drawing, says the girl with milkshake brings the boys to the yard and girls having poutine at the bar. You're right. You're right, Dina. I should have been more concise.
Yeah, it's true. Dina, give me a hobby that starts with the letter D.
Dodgeball.
That's dodgeball. Cool. I'll allow it.
Yeah. Oh, that's really good. God, I really
guess what?
Yeah.
We have a tie. 6-6 in this second round.
do we get to have like a 30 seconds, three category off?
I mean, we could, or we could just say Dina won because she has more points overall.
Yeah, she definitely won. That's fair. I got my
congratulations, Dina.
Hey, Dina, can I just say how nice your hair looks today?
Thank you.
Just looks fantastic. I don't know what you did with it differently. It just, it's really popping.
I know what you're doing. You're being a dick, but it's fine.
It literally looks
good,
though.
You're a bitter bitch because you lost.
I would never do that. I would never do that to you, Dina. All right, guys, it is time for our discussion segment. We are going to be talking today about, is it okay to judge a book by its cover? We're going to talk about some of the things that we like, we dislike, mistakes people make, and kind of some of our pet peeves with covers. So to kick things off, Dina, talk to us a little bit about some things that like how important to you, especially since you're in the publishing industry, how important is a good cover to you in terms of if you want a book, if you want to pick it up, what you look for when you're getting an a author cover, things like that?
So like I personally don't adhere to the you can't judge a book by its cover. I 1000% believe that you can judge a book by its cover. However, I do know like a lot of I know big five authors that are like bestsellers, have like 60 titles under their belt, and their book covers are just fucking trash. And like they still sell and they still fly off the shelves and everything. Like I don't know if anybody's seen the I think it's the Swiss version of The Fault in Our Stars. It's the shittiest cover I've ever fucking seen, but that's a best-selling like book. And so like John, I guess it doesn't matter, but like I think it matters a lot because I 100% believe that covers sell books. And I know like a lot of indie authors can't afford good covers and it's like, oh, don't judge us by our covers and stuff, but like I'm gonna.
Yeah. I mean, I put it to you this way. I think that to get away with a bad cover, you have to be already so established and already have such a readership that they're not going to care. But if you're trying to break in, if you're trying to get someone to give your book a chance for the first time, absolutely the cover matters. And I think to me, the biggest thing is that is a bad cover indicative of a bad book? No. But especially when you're talking about indie books, I think what it tells you is that they didn't take the time to hold on, so we're gonna
bottom right break. I was just about to send that to you.
Oh my god,
can you zoom in on the bottom right one?
What the hell,
how fucking ugly is that?
So for the folks that are listening on audio only, we're looking at the Swiss cover of John Green's A Fault in Our Star.
I don't remember if it's Swiss. It
might be German, maybe Dutch? I don't know. Who knows? Either way, it's an all white cover with a skull with one eye that's a clock and weird asymmetrical designs. It's got kind of a rose and some petals growing out of it, a grenade underneath it, a swing, and what appears to be a cherub. I don't know what this has to do with the fucking book or who decided this. It looks terrible, though.
Yeah, that fun fact, that's John Green's favorite cover for the book.
Why? The skull doesn't even look cool.
I think he doesn't understand his genre. I don't know.
It looks John like Green, bad tattoo flash. Is what it looks like.
Yes, it does. Oh my god. But all right. So sorry, I got off track a little bit there. But I think especially when it comes to an indie or a debuting author, if the cover sucks, it tells me that because you know we've talked about this before, Dina. What's one of the biggest issues with the oversaturation of indie or self-pub books out there? Like, what do you think?
They're
like,
all,
yeah, go on, sorry.
They're making their covers on Canva and it's just like clip art.
Yeah. And already, you know, a huge issue with just generally the quality of the books of self-pub is that there's a lot of people who just like, I don't need an editor. I've got Grammarly. A couple of my friends told me the book's good. Fuck formatting. I'm just throwing this out there with my clip art. And so it's like, to me, if I see a bad cover with that, then it screams to me that you didn't take the time and attention to properly put this book out. You know what I mean?
You don't understand the industry. You don't understand the market. You're not taking this seriously as a career. You're taking this as an easy path.
Yeah. And so it's like, you know, a bad cover doesn't necessarily mean a bad book, but it just tells me that you're trying to take shortcuts and you weren't ready to get this thing published and maybe your book's not
it
ready.
It is the Swedish cover, by the way.
Oh, okay, cool.
Swedish.
Sometimes I remember stuff.
Yeah. It's frustrating because, I mean, listen, I've been on the other side where I've seen some books with some badass, awesome covers where the book sucks. So it doesn't necessarily tell you the book's going to be good, but it at least tells me that you put some work in and some forethought in. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, Dina, what are some things that people can do well if they want to get themselves a cover? Like, what would be your recommendation to someone looking for a cover for their self-pub or indie book?
Find an actual cover artist, and like they can be expensive, but you can also find cheap ones. Like Emily's World of Design is like a decently priced cover artist that I really, really love. I wish that I could get a cover from her. I have an amazing artist right now, but like I still like Emily's World of Designs as well. Like, support her a lot. Start saving up, start setting aside and finding actual cover artists. Don't just, you know, half-ass this and do it yourself in Canva. I understand that some people only have the means for that. Stop and set aside and save. Like, please do this for yourself. Shit.
And what I guess I would say is if you honestly cannot afford it, because obviously, you know, cost prohibitive, we understand mm-hmm. that this is a difficult thing to do. Then I guess my recommendation is less is more. If you can't afford to have a really beautiful, nicely designed cover, man, keep it as simple as possible. Have as little going on, you know, just like there are some really good minimalist designs out there. Like Thomas Anthony Leigh's, both of his books are very simple. It's just got the crystal. It's got the Age of Reckoning with some cool fonts and it looks really good and clean. And I'm not saying the cost was, a choice with him. I'm just saying that there are ways to put out a good cover that doesn't involve making it look bad or expensive.
There's lots of YouTube videos out there about how to like get your Canva cover and then other free apps that you can use with that make it. It's not the same as a professional cover, but they like kind of step you above just using fucking clip art from Canva.
And one of the other big pet peeves, because like I know it's fun to mess around with it and look at it, but Dina, talk to us about what AI generated covers do and the issue with them.
So first of all, you're taking away work from artists. Like, you're an author and you're over here like, I'm starving, I'm a poor broke artist and I can't get published and I'm doing this and hopefully this book pays for itself, blah blah blah. And now you're being an asshole to other artists and you're getting this free AI generated art that honestly it looks like shit. But also like you're now hurting another industry that's supposed to be side by side with you, your equals. The fucking audacity of you, honestly, that shit pisses me the fuck off.
Yeah. And I agree. Like, listen, man, it's fun to mess around with it and go, ha ha, look at what, if I put my book title into the AI generated cover, like, look at what it comes up with. Like, if you just want to do that for a good time, fine. But if you actually plan to use that as your professional book cover, yeah, man, what it tells me is that you're skipping steps, that you're trying to take shortcuts, that you don't care about the quality. Because I mean, like, you know, that's
you don't care about other humans.
Yeah. And it's like, listen, man, publishing is a fucking journey. And I know that not everyone can have a full team and a lot of people are rolling mostly solo. But it's like for me, when my book, you know, went into development, and I told Dina very early on and Ashley and everyone at Lost Boys Press, like, I wanted this to be something that I collaborate with other people on. Like, there's so many people that can be a part of this journey and make it a special, important thing. Like, I couldn't imagine just telling all those people to fuck themselves. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But all right. So talk to me about some of the things that you do. Like, what are some good practices in a good cover? Like, in terms of color, font, style, what are some things that you like when you see?
Don't be afraid of blank space. I feel like I work with a lot of authors at Lost Boys and like through Don't Make It Weird and on Twitter and blah, blah, blah. And I feel like a lot of times authors are scared of blank space on their covers. And it's not a bad thing. You don't have to fill in everything. Like, blank space can be really fun to play with.
Yeah. I think that's a great point. And for me, I really like eye popping, interesting colors. I think that, you know, whether it's a all white kind of backdrop or an all black backdrop, and then you just show out those splashes of color, I think that that mm-hmm. does a lot. I think that a lot of times what you see is that you either get the cartoony colors where it's like, we're not taking this seriously. This is just kind of, you know, cartoon romance stuff. Or else you get that it's all dark and moody, and it's just, it feels bland if there's not some interesting color choices to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, all right. So give
fonts,
me...
Fonts need to be legible, yeah. too. Like, a lot of people get really fixated on, like, these cursives and stuff, which, like, I have a cursive font on my cover. But, like, there's some that are just illegible. Yeah. And it's just like, I don't even know what your title actually is because I couldn't read it. Just because yeah. you know what it means, that what it says doesn't mean that everybody else will see it.
Yeah, doesn't need that extra loopy, old-timey, you know, thing on it. Sean, you've worked for a long, long time, you know, as kind of like a side hustle, side career of working kind of with graphic design and Photoshop and things like that. And again, we're not calling anyone out at all. This is, we are talking about in generalities, things that we see on Reddit, stuff like that. This is never attacks at anyone in our community. But I know that from that kind of angle, a design angle, Sean, like, what are some of your pet peeves that you've seen from, like, a formatting, you know, design on a cover?
The things that stand out to me right away, and maybe it's just because I look a little too hard at this stuff, but kerning issues with text, like when you have someone that just typed in a random font and didn't actually space everything properly. So like certain spaces in between letters vary instead of it all being balanced properly. That's an immediate indication to me that it's a amateur job. Also, I'm like way into symmetry, and design doesn't always have to be symmetrical, but like it's painful for me sometimes how needlessly unsymmetrical designs are, just for the sake of being kooky. But yeah, those are two things that stand out to me the most.
And so, you know, because again, we understand that not everyone can afford it. And sometimes, again, you have to go solo. But I guess let's get a final kind of final points here. So if someone's designing a cover on a budget, I'll start with you, Dina, then I'll ask Sean the same thing. What are some things or resources that they could use to design well on a budget?
I mean, you can start with Canva, and then you can use other apps to kind of, I don't really know what the proper terminology is, but you use these other apps to further edit. I think it's like Photogenia or something like that. I don't remember the exact title, but there's several, and like, you can literally just YouTube how to make a professional looking cover on YouTube. And it comes up with several different free apps that you can.
Sean, you know, for you, you know, having done this type of stuff professionally, what was a fair price that you think you would charge just to work on the design element? You know what I mean? Like if someone was hiring you,
a concept.
Yeah. Like if someone was hiring you to, you know, clean up their project, what's a good rate to get someone that's, you know, competent in graphic design?
You don't clean up somebody's project. You either make it or you don't.
So there's usually just like an hourly rate, but it depends. Like some people offer packages and stuff. I always went by hourly, but like it also depends on what they give you. Like a designer isn't going to come up with your concept for you. You need to give them something.
Yeah.
And I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about a concept.
Yeah.
Like, paint give a picture in their mind.
Yeah.
Give them your synopsis. Give them an idea of what you're looking for. Literally draw a shitty fucking napkin drawing and take a picture of it just to give an idea of what type of layout you're looking
for. Other covers that you like.
Yeah. Like covers that inspire you.
Mood boards.
In terms of price, it really like depends, man. Like project to project, it can change. Like one customer might want a very simple, flat design. Just stylized text, and that's much cheaper than someone who wants a full illustrated cover.
Yeah. Right?
So, and it like me, I'm not.
I'm sorry.
someone like me, I'm not an illustrator, so I'm not the guy to go to for a fully illustrated cover, but I can take an illustration and lay it out and stylize it as a cover.
Yeah.
So like something like that would just be an hourly charge. And depending on where you are, those and how like experienced you are, the hourly rates are going to change. Like I've seen, like to your point on Fiverr, there's some people that literally charge $5 for a cover layout, but there's also some people who charge 100 or more an hour for that sort of thing. So, you know, you're going to, your results may vary. That's all I'm saying.
You're going to get what you pay for.
It also depends on the style as well. Like if it's going to be hand drawn or if it's going to be all digitally drawn or anything like that. Daniel, if you're trying to suss out how much your cover should cost, it should be several hundred dollars for what your cover artist is doing.
Yeah. I agree with that. But yeah, so any final thoughts or anything on covers, Dina?
No.
Yeah. All right. Well, guys, this has been a great discussion segment on judging a book by its cover. The answer is we will absolutely judge it by its cover, unless you're, you know, John Green. Then at that point, you're so rich and famous, it doesn't fucking matter. All right, guys. I've been so excited for this. You see, we're all about storytelling here, and as such, we try to share a fun story each week. So without further ado,
it's story time with Dinosaurus.
Alrighty, we're going way back.
Diddly, 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 diddly.
So, growing up, I had a lot of really older friends. I think I was probably 7 or 8 when this story occurred.
Oh, no.
And all my older friends, they were my peers, but they were way older than me. A lot of them already knew about sex, and I did not.
All right, just to lay groundwork here. Are we talking like, are these 12 and 13 year olds or older?
Probably 13.
Okay.
I'd say, yeah. So they already knew about sex. I did not. First of all, sex was not allowed in the cult. Like you weren't going to know about it. So like, it was kind of odd that they knew, but like they knew, and for various horrible reasons, but beside the point, my friends had already taught me about sex, kind of basic kid version.
Yeah.
And I accidentally, I was sitting with my mom and dad in the living room one night. We were watching TV and my dad said, "I have to go pee. Dina, can you go for me?" Like just as a joke, like pee ha, yeah. I don't want to get up. So you do it for me. And my bitch ass made the mistake of looking him dead in the eye and went, "I can't do that." And he went, "What? Why?" And I was like, "Because you have a penis and I don't." So we had not had that conversation at all yet. Mm-hmm. So immediately the TV show was put on pause and I realized I fucked up. I'm not supposed to know about that. Oh shit. Oh shit. Oh shit. What do I do? So he pulls me over to hit the side of his chair and he's like, "Dina, can I ask you how you know that?" And I was like, well, you stand up when you pee, I don't." And he was like, How would you possibly know that?" And I was like, you could probably see like the wheel spinning, trying to figure out a quick enough lie to get me out of this. And the only thing that I could come up with was I went, "Wait right here." And I went and I grabbed my Aladdin Barbie doll.
Uh-huh.
And I came back into the room and I had my Aladdin Barbie doll and I pulled it down and I went, "See, look."
Oh, Dina.
He stands up when he pees. I don't. And my dad was like, you got that from that?" And I was like, I was so committed. I was like, "I'm absolutely not getting in trouble for knowing things that I'm not supposed to. I'm going to make this their fault. Fuck parents. Ha ha ha." So I...
You rebel.
I doubled down.
Yeah,
I doubled down. I was like, absolutely, it's their fault. See, like, the girl Barbie dolls don't have the same shape. Okay, sure. So obviously, they stand up and they don't, Dad. That's just plain biology, Dad.
That's just plain biology, yeah.
Doubled down. And he was so uncomfortable by the conversation. And again, Colt, I'm not supposed to know anyway. So he just kind of like accepted it and was like, okay, sure. Mm-hmm. All right, go away. Like, literally did not let me come back and watch TV with him the rest of the night. He was mortified and he absolutely knew I was lying. But how is he going to like call me out on that?
Yeah.
He can't. There's absolutely nothing he can do. So that's the story of Ken's dick.
Ken, I fucking knew it was about Barbies.
Damn it, Tina.
I fucking knew it.
I need a minute. I need a minute because I'm so fucking salty. I thought this was going to turn into a thing where your dad's going after these kids that notified you. Or, God, I don't know.
I would never sell somebody out.
And it was a... God.
It was a guy named Ken.
Oh, that's... God damn it, Dina. Audience
bamboozled again.
Sean.
Democracy didn't fail anybody.
We all lost today.
We all lost today. And now, you know what? We have to reinstate democracy. Sean, can I apologize? Hold on. Before we do that, I need to apologize to our audience for taking away their freedom of choice. Audience, I'm sorry for turning into a fascist. I'm sorry. I'm
sorry.
Sorry.
We're so sorry.
Oh, so sorry.
I'm not.
All right. We're bringing back Choose Your Own Adventure. Dina. What All do we right. got?
You can pick from The Time I Ruined Amazon for the World, The Poop Pool, or The Time That I Got Into the Wrong Car at Night.
At night.
Yeah, just... All right, Sean, I've been bamboozled. I have the Who song stuck in my head. The Don't Get Fooled Again. So, what?
Fool me once. Shame on you. Fool me twice. And you won't get fooled again.
Sean, what do you think? What's the leader in the clubhouse? Oh, I can't trust
God,
myself.
I mean, for me, I mean, she kind of hinted
for
at
me,
this last week.
It's corn.
For me,
it's corn.
I like The Time I Ruined Amazon for the World because she's implying that this had global implications. And
yeah,
I just can't not. I got to know.
I'm ready. You know what, Sean? I'm ready to get hurt again. I'm Team Amazon with you on this one.
I'm ready to be hurt again.
I'm ready. But you know, Dina, I have a little sweet revenge for you. Because last time we were here, guys, I told you that you thought that our last episode of Cringy Copulation was bad. When I tell you that this one is, in my opinion, fucking worse. Just know.
Way worse, baby.
Just know I love you, Dina, and I regret nothing. So, you see, every week we celebrate some of the worst erotic literature in history as selected by the Literary Review of British Literary Magazine in a segment that we call Cringy Copulation. These are real excerpts from real books intended to be taken seriously. This week's excerpt will be read by Dina, and it's from The Impossible Saints by Michelle Roberts. Michelle is a British writer, novelist, and poet. Roberts was elected as a fellow of the Royal Society of Literature in 1999. She is a Chevalier de l'Ordre des Arts de Lettres awarded by the French government.
Good try.
Yeah, that was about as good as it gets.
That was offensive.
Dina, check those DMs. You're about to get even more offensive.
Why is this
Pardon
so
is French, baby.
Uncumber twisted herself round in the darkness like the roots of a lemon tree. She turned herself rapidly like a fish slipping through the currents between grasping fingers of weed.
Fish, baby.
The king's sad and greedy hands found the dark curly nest of pubic hair, the soft lips just underneath. He shoved his penis in. period. But Uncumber, that's a name. Oh, what?
Yeah, her name's
Uncumber. But Uncumber had covered her face with her hair. She had turned herself upside down and had presented the King of Sicily with her beautiful mouth, surrounded by her beautiful curly mane. Not her C word at all. Her C word had no teeth. What? Of course it didn't. Why would it have teeth?
You'll find out.
Her father's... Oh no. Oh no.
Don't stop.
Her father's penis was in her mouth. She bit it off and spat it out. Then she leapt off the bed and ran to the door and unlocked it, raced into the gardens of the palace and disappeared. Fuck yeah, she did.
That's not even half as bad as last week. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Hey, wait, has anybody seen Grey's Anatomy?
Yeah, like a long time ago. I haven't watched.
The episode where the victim...
Did someone's dick get bitten off?
Yeah, and like they found it in her mouth. She's like unconscious and like horribly in bad shape. And they're looking for this guy and he shows up on their doorstep like passed out and it's just like blood all over.
Listen, if my dad named me Uncumber, I'd bite his dick off too.
Okay.
That's
so first,
horrible.
First of all, yeah, no, it's horrible because there's kingly incest shit going on here. And then on top of that, she in the dark pulls old switcheroo. So he thinks he's going for the nether regions, but gets her mouth. But he couldn't tell the difference because both were so fucking curly maned. And then she bites it off. How is that not worse?
You think that's
first of all,
worse than fucking taking shits in the mouth?
Second. Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Slippery shits that taste like dark chocolate. Go ahead, Dina.
I don't know about other people, but pubic hair versus actual hair on your head. Mm-hmm. Feels very different, so he could not have possibly confused those. Secondly, I don't know how you can pull that type of switcheroo where you're maneuvering upside down suddenly without somebody fucking noticing. I blame him.
That's fair.
Oh, I blame him for all of it.
Yeah,
from
for all
Earth
of that.
There's a lot. Well, yeah, there's a lot.
His penis got bitten off.
There's a lot happening.
From naming your child Uncumber to everything after that.
Uncumber's ingenuity in the moment was something to be commended. And, you know,
I've always wanted to do that.
Yeah.
Bite somebody's dick off.
Yeah.
And to your point, Dina, vaginas don't have teeth. You haven't seen the movie Teeth yet.
I will never see the movie Teeth.
She will never see. She doesn't watch horror movies, so
yeah,
that would never happen.
But that's basically the concept.
But there is that lady in India that has the strong enough pelvic region that she can cut it off. That's a thing. We've had that discussion before.
Have we? Sean, do you recall?
They call her old razor lips. Anyway.
Her muscles are so strong, she can snap it.
Well, then maybe I built this up too much in my own head because I thought it was just terrible. And
incest is bad.
Yeah.
Don't do it, kids.
I'm assuming consent is not involved here as well, which is awful horrible.
Yeah.
Hence the biting of the dick.
In terms of how gross it is, like... I don't know. Like this seems like vigilante justice to me. Like she's taking her independence and defending herself. She's taking her independence back and defending herself against an obviously, you know, full of himself king.
Yeah.
And, you know, the last episode, like, sure, consent was implied, but still, like, even with consent, I can't get on with scat play, man. It's just like, next level horrifying to me.
That's pretty bad. No, I'm with you, man. I'm with you.
Two girls, one cup.
No, Dina, no. Bad. Bad.
Well, yeah, it's bad.
You know what that is?
Yeah.
I understand cultural references.
From 15 years ago. Oh. All right, guys. Well, this has been another great episode of Don't Make It Weird. As always, we want you guys to join us, participate with us, do things with us, leave us a voicemail at 347-69-WEIRD. That's 347-699-3473. Guys, I can't wait till the next episode. We're going to have a bunch of great guests, or we won't have guests. I don't know. We don't know what episode number this is, so this is going to be a great day.
We're flying by the seat of our pants, bitches. Woo!
episode.
It's episode 74.
Yeah, I'm just fucking around, guys. It's going to be awesome, our next episode. Dina, where can the folks find you?
You can find me at ashinadesigns.etsy.com.
Uh-huh.
Help.
Link in the description.
Yeah.
Help her. You can find me on Twitter at Dinosaurus D. That's D like these nuts.
And you guys can find me on Twitter at Dan Q Writes Thing. That's Dan Q Writes Thing singular.
Stank.
Stank.
As in a four letter word that starts with D.
And guys, just remember, only you can prevent Dina from becoming a stripper. Please check out Ashlina Designs.
That's not the name of it, but that's okay. Thank you anyway.
In the description.
Sean, where can the folks find you?
You can find me on Twitter at ShaySoldu.
And if people want to check out our website, where would they go?
DMIWpodcast.com.
Dina, you got it right.
And where could they find our store merch, Dina?
DMIWpodcast.com/shop.
Store.
Oh, so close. Link in the description.
Link in the descriptions. And Sean, for my own personal website, where can the folks go?
That's dumps4dank.com. That's D-U-M-P-S, the number 4, D-A-N-Q.com.
Thanks, guys. All right, this has been another great episode of the Don't Make a Weird podcast. We'll see you all again next week. We love you all, jazz hands.
Don't Make It Weird, hosted by Daniel Quigley and Dina Soris. Produced and edited by me, Sean Holden. Theme music by Amaria. You can find the video version of this show on our YouTube channel or the audio-only version wherever you download your podcasts. If you enjoyed the show, please like and subscribe. It's free to you and it helps us out a ton. Have a message for Dina or Daniel? Leave us a voicemail at 347-69-WEIRD and we'll listen to it on a future episode. Thanks for making it weird with us, and we'll see you next time.